Before I begin this episode, I want to say I really appreciate you all sticking around for my podcast. It's been over a decade since I started, and I'm finally going to be working on it full time alongside my social media channels. Please make sure you hit the notification bell because I'll have a lot more uploads coming on a more consistent basis. Thanks to all of you who continue to listen. And if you have any feedback after listening to this episode, be sure to reach out to me via email or social media. I'd love to hear from you. Today we'll be covering the haunted location of Gulster Park, a place that has become quite the hotspot for my listeners, who have shared numerous stories about their experiences there. Gulster Wilderness Park is a 42-acre park located on the north slope of the San Jose Hills in West Covina, California. The land was originally owned by Emil and Gladys Gulster, who had donated it to the city of West Covina in 1971 with the stipulation that it remain a wilderness park for educational purposes. Despite its origins as a nature preserve, Gulster Park has earned a reputation as one of Southern California's most haunted locations, attracting ghost hunters, paranormal investigators, and thrill seekers. And I've received countless stories from this place, enough that I had to make an entire episode out of it. The most prominent legend involves a supposed serial killer, dubbed the Gulster Park Butcher. The story claims that during the 1990s, a man lived in a shack somewhere along the trails of Gulster Park and would lure children inside, where he abducted, assaulted, beat, and murdered them. Some versions say a trail leads directly up to the killer's shack, and that if you wander off the main trails, you can find it. The shack reportedly still exists. Multiple paranormal investigators have gone looking for it and have found dilapidated structures with graffiti and doors hanging off hinges. There is also another version of the story that suggests that the haunted shack was actually a tool shed for the park's groundkeeper. When visitors reported a horrible smell coming from it, a groundskeeper and a police officer approached and opened it. Inside, they found a blood splatter, but apparently it was from an animal that had killed another animal inside the shed. This explanation has largely been drowned out by the more dramatic serial killer narrative. Now, critically, no police reports, newspaper articles, or arrest records have ever been found to substantiate that a serial killer operated at Gulster Park. So the talk of such a killer is pure urban legend. Another widely shared legend states that around midnight, a ghost boy appears at the south entrance. And apparently if the boy appears young, around 12 years old, wearing a sweater with a massive scar on his face, he warns and begs you not to enter the park. Now if the boy appears to be a teenager, or slightly older if you can really tell, he beckons you to come inside. Now one Reddit user recounted a prom night experience where their friend allegedly saw this figure and was so frightened that she refused to drive home alone. Here is a story from that Reddit user, whose account has since been deleted. Story number 1. Gulster Park. Look it up. I've always wanted to visit the park and heard that it was renovated and reopened after being closed for a year. No one I knew was brave enough to go since the original website we found it on literally had a warning about how severe the haunting was there. But finally, on prom night, a fellow horror movie buff was driving me home after dropping off my date, and I convinced her to drive by the park since we were nearby after she got lost. It took a lot of convincing, but she finally agreed to just stop in front for a bit. It was around 2, maybe closer to 3, when we neared the park. I saw a figure duck into the gate, and then my view was suddenly blocked. My friend who had been driving had slowed down, and then out of nowhere, she slammed on the gas. It was so sudden that I screamed because I wasn't expecting the car to go from creeping along to speeding off. She didn't stop until we reached the nearest light. She refused to tell me what she saw, and was too scared to drive home alone, so we ended up going to a prom after party instead. Even then, she wouldn't say anything and insisted I spend the night at her house, promising to take me home in the morning. The next morning, she finally told me what she'd seen. A boy, around 12 years old, with a terrified face, but no eyes. When he opened his mouth into a wide smile, instead of teeth, there was only empty blackness. I was very thankful after that. She chose not to tell me until the morning. F that. Multiple sources claim that the Ku Klux Klan has been spotted holding meetings at the park, specifically at or near the abandoned shack. The legend states that after the shack was abandoned by whoever originally used it, the KKK took it over as a meeting spot. Some versions claim that the Klan members had hanged people from the park's black walnut trees and chased trespassers out with knives. A lesser-known legend involves the park's water tower. The story claims that a man in his mid-30s, depressed over the loss of his wife, climbed the tower and jumped to his death. His ghost is said to haunt the area near the tower, and apparently people who wander off the main trails and end up near the tower reportedly feel eyes watching them and sense a strange, oppressive energy. And there's a specific spot on the south side of the park, a four-way crossing of trails, where visitors consistently report feeling watched from all directions and experiencing a bad vibe. This is another case that cannot be verified by any sort of police reports. However, the next case is documented to have happened, and is the only true confirmed death I have seen occur on the property. On Sunday, June 2nd, 2013, a passerby discovered a man hanging from a tree at approximately 2:40 p.m. toward the south end of Gloucester Park. West Covina police responded and found no evidence of foul play, and the death was initially investigated as a suicide. The victim's name has never been released, and apparently, this is the exact same location of where the ghost boy is said to be seen. However, this case is a bit too recent to have been behind the ghost boy urban legend. And as far as the hauntings of the park go, visitors and locals describe a cluster of recurring phenomena at Gloucester Park that all center on the idea of unseen children and an intelligent, reactive presence. At night, people report hearing children screaming, laughing, and wailing around the playground and along the darker trails, even when the park is visibly empty. Swings are said to start moving on their own despite still air, which feeds into the impression that something is playing there. And after leaving, some visitors claim to find mysterious, child-sized handprints smeared on their car windshields or windows, as if something had followed them out of the park. Others describe rocks being thrown at them around midnight, with no visible thrower, as well as stretches of unnatural dead silence suddenly broken by snaps, footsteps, or other unexplained noises in the brush. Paranormal teams who investigate the area report anomalous EMF spikes and possible EVPs, disembodied voices, or responses captured on audio, which they interpret as signs of an intelligent haunting interacting with them. Now we will dive into different stories that I have received from listeners who have commented on my videos posted on social media. If you aren't already following me on these pages, check the description of this episode and follow me at The Scarecast on Instagram, TikTok, and X, and The Scarecast page on Facebook and YouTube, where I post daily videos on whatever I find interesting or disturbing. Now we will commence the rest of the stories for this location. Story number 2, the man who followed us home from Gloucester Park. Back in 2005, my best friends and I were being driven there in the middle of the night by an older friend who I considered my sister. It was around 3 a.m. and we stopped in front of the park, where there's supposedly a boy who greets you. My older friend said she saw a man, maybe in his 30s or 40s, medium build, standing there. But neither I nor my best friend sitting next to me saw anyone. So we decided to drive back to our city, Baldwin Park. When we stopped at a crosslight, I suddenly saw this man, medium build, Caucasian, bald head with a faded cut on the sides, wearing dark gray slacks and a black shirt, staring right into our car. I described him to everyone, and they immediately said, "That was the man from Gloucester Park, behind us." The ghost man had literally followed us from the park. I didn't see him the first time, but the two friends in the front seats did. And to this day, I'm convinced that that park is haunted. Story number 3, The Tall Shadow Man. A lot of SGV kids hang out and kick it here. I have so many memories from this place back in high school. Everyone tries to stay late at night, but the police presence is heavy and they'll pull you over. I've been stopped a few times myself. I will say though that at night, the place feels really unsettling. One time I was driving out really late at night with a friend when we saw a man standing in the middle of the road, a tall dark figure. We slowed down and even thought about pulling over, but as we got closer, it literally glided across the street towards the park with no visible feet. We saw it again near the trees, and this thing was incredibly tall and shadowy. I'll never forget that night.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join. Shop your favorite brands and save. Sephora, Boots, Argus, Temu, Adidas, Trip.com. The list is long. Save online at over 550 stores. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose bank transfer or PayPal. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, get a new outfit. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to rakuten.co.uk or get the app. That's Rakuten.
Story number 4, The Swing, The Doll, in the empty park. I didn't even know about the urban legend until after I took my son there one afternoon, close to sunset. When I pulled up, I thought it was weird that no one was there, and I got an ugly feeling as we walked towards the playground. My son went to walk towards the swing, and it started moving, dead ass, no wind. And as we started to walk away from the swings, we heard a sound like someone was riding the bouncy horse. We turned around and no one was there. As we turned back to continue walking, I noticed a doll in a white dress that was laying on the side of the hill next to the trail. And I said, "Sad, someone left their doll." And we continued walking down the trail. It was getting dark, so we made it a quick trip and came back down. And as I turned to look, the doll that we passed earlier was fucking gone. There was no one around, no cars in the parking lot. So we ran our asses out of there and we never went back. Story number 5, The Night of the Robes. It was 2023 when we first heard about Gloucester Park. I had stumbled across it on TikTok and told my friends. All my friends decided that they wanted to check it out, and we would always go and never see anything. But on this one peculiar night, we decided to head there after going out to eat. We drove to the park in two separate cars because there were nine of us. We arrived at the park, went in to look around, and didn't see anything suspicious, so we drove out. We went down the street, and for some reason we ended up turning around and we came back in. And when we drove back into the park, there was a car parked in the darkness that we hadn't seen the first time. We parked a distance away, and there were four people in that car. And suddenly, we saw a lady in a white dress appear out of the darkness. She had a small baby in her hands and started dancing and screaming with the baby. She danced towards the playground next to the parking lot, and then people in black robes got out of the car and started walking towards the playground too. We also saw about 30 people in black robes appear out of nowhere, walking out of the darkness of the park and forming a circle by the playground. The lady in white was dancing in the circle with a candle, screaming and dancing, and then she placed a baby in the middle of the circle, and that's when we saw it was a toy. My friend yelled, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" The lady replied, "Oh, we're only praying. Come here, come here." And the people in black robes started walking towards our cars, chanting words that we didn't understand. The lady kept yelling, "Come here, come here, come here." All of us felt a really bad feeling from whatever they were chanting, so we decided to get out of there as quickly as possible. And as we drove out of the park, we could still hear the chanting and yelling. Everyone rode in silence, trying to process what we had just witnessed. And to this day, none of my friends talk about or even mention that particular night. That was the last time we went to Gulfster Park. Story number 6, the plastic bags on the tree. Late one night, two friends were driving around West Covina when they stumbled upon a mysterious entrance marked by two gates leading into the darkness. Intrigued, they ventured through, finding themselves in an eerie parking lot occupied by a single minivan. And as they passed, they noticed a man inside the minivan, his face illuminated by candles flickering on his dashboard, staring right at them as they passed. Unnerved by the encounter, they quickly left. And the following day at school, they recounted their experience to their classmates. Overhearing the conversation, a teacher identified the location as the parking lot adjacent to Gulfster Park, warning them of its haunted reputation. And after searching online, it revealed the park's notoriety for unexplained disappearances and tragic incidents, particularly involving children. Being high school students, the friends, along with a group of five others, decided to revisit the park around midnight. This time, they explored the park on foot. Near the restrooms, they encountered a chilling sight. A tree adorned with plastic bags on every branch. Upon closer inspection, they discovered that each bag contained multiple sets of children's clothing. A disturbing find that sent them fleeing in terror. Could these be the clothes of the kids that disappeared at Gulfster Park? And what the hell was the man in the van doing with the candles lit on his dashboard? There's just so many questions with this story. So, continuing on, the two friends that saw the plastic bags of children's clothes on the tree in Gulfster Park decided to pay the park one last visit on another late night, this time with a new set of friends. When they got to the parking lot this time, they encountered a peculiar scene. A dog stood motionless in the center, appearing almost lifeless and unresponsive to their calls as it was shaking in place. The group was divided on how to proceed, with some urging that it could be a trap and that they should get the hell out of there while they can, and the other half of the group felt compelled to help the dog. Eventually, they decided to rescue the dog, which remained eerily still and expressionless as they placed it in their vehicle, almost like a stuffed animal. Fortunately, they found a nearby resident willing to take the dog to a veterinarian the following morning. Story number 7. The Kids. This happened sometime between 2004 and 2009. Back then, the park didn't have any cameras, and both restrooms were disgusting, full of graffiti, broken walls, and completely run down. Anyway, my two friends and I took the bus from Azusa to West Covina. We were young and went to the park to do some graffiti, since that was the spot everyone used to go to back then. It was around sunset and both gates were closed. When we got there, the park was completely empty, not a single car in sight. We started heading up the trail to do what we came for when it began to sprinkle lightly. And out of nowhere, we started hearing the sounds of kids laughing and playing, like a group at the playground. We all looked at each other confused because there was absolutely no one around, and who would be out there in the rain at that time? We got freaked out and ran, jumping over the fence to get out. Honestly, it was terrifying. That was the only time I've experienced anything like that at that park. I've gone back a few times recently to see if I could experience it again, but nothing ever happens. Still, that one day really stuck with me. Story number 8, The Giggling. Between 2004 and 2006, on a rainy Halloween night, my brothers asked for a ride to Gulster Park so that they could meet up with friends and explore the area. The ground was soaked from the day's rain, and as I dropped them off, they invited me to join them for a walk. We wandered through the playground and past the empty bathrooms, searching for an old shack hidden up the trail. I was wearing flip-flops and quickly realized that hiking further would leave me slipping and covered in mud, so I decided to turn back to the car alone. The park felt eerily deserted as I retraced my steps. Near the playground, I suddenly heard children giggling, a sound that seemed odd for such a late, stormy night. At first I shrugged it off, thinking maybe more people had arrived to hang out. But as I continued, the giggling had shifted to the bathroom area, and my nerves had spiked. I walked towards the bathroom, heard the laughter again, and found the door tightly locked with nobody inside. Terrified, I sprinted to my car and told my brothers what happened. That's when one of their friends revealed that he had experienced the exact same thing earlier that night. Years later, I realized how profound that moment was, and if it happened today, I'd probably try to interact with whatever was giggling in the shadows of that wet, haunted park. Well, that's all for today's episode. Before you go, if this episode gave you chills, do a couple of things that keep the hauntings coming your way. 1, make sure you follow me and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening right now so you don't miss the next episode. Next, drop a rating and review to help more people find these stories. And if you have a friend who loves creepy locations, urban legends, or late night drives to haunted parks, send this episode to them. Depending on how well this episode does, I will have a part 2 coming. So if you got a story to share, make sure you send it in to mike@thescarecast.com, or you can also DM me on any social media platform. Thanks for listening, and as always, stay curious, stay safe, and stay away from the shadows, unless you're hitting play on the next episode. Take care, and until next time.